WCRI's festival series highlights one of our community's greatest musical traditions, the Newport Music Festival. Since 1969, the Newport Music Festival has hosted over 2,000 concerts in Rhode Island's most prestigious venues, while presenting world-renowned and emerging classical music artists from around the globe. The Newport Music Festival has left an indelible mark on our music history here in Rhode Island, as well as around the world. Now, here's host Mike Mano, along with the festival's executive director, Pamela Pantos.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to episode number 14 of the Newport Music Festival special series here on WCRI. I'm Mike Mano, very pleased once again to be sitting with Pamela Pantos, the executive director of the Newport Music Festival. And here we are, Pamela, next week. Valentine's Day is coming up in just a few days, and how are we going to convince people that they should do something special for Valentine's Day in regards to the Newport Music Festival?
Aren't you clever? Well, I would suggest that they go online and purchase tickets for this coming summer and make them a gift for their special Valentine.
That's a great idea. So tickets are on sale.
Tickets are now on sale, and this is really a tremendous achievement for the festival to have all the programming completed and tickets on sale as of last week in January. So wow. Here we are, actually 2 weeks ago, pardon me, in January. And people can go online to newportmusic.org, to the new website, and they can look at all of the offerings. They can learn about the artists. They can learn about the programming. They can actually listen to some media if they want to hear some music clips as well. So there's a great deal of information there. Again, newportmusic.org.
I think we should explain to our audience, anyone that might be new to the area and not be completely familiar with the Newport Music Festival, we're talking about dozens and dozens of performances, right? This is not a one-time, one-weekend thing.
This is 40-plus performances over a three-week period at the beginning of July through the 22nd this year.
So you have to go to the website, check it out. There's obviously way too much for us to tell you about for each individual piece, but we'll start with what's coming up next.
Oh, terrific. Well, in our last program, we discussed the incredibly super-talented pianist Charlie Albright, who is going to be at the festival this summer. So along those lines, I thought that I would introduce an ensemble to our listeners this evening, namely the Grammy-nominated Imani Winds. They are a woodwind quintet who will be performing at the Breakers on Friday the 13th this July at 8 p.m. And they are absolutely incredible. So I thought we'd start with, you know, figuring out what exactly is a woodwind quintet. It's not the most normal chamber music ensemble that we have. So it is flute, clarinet, oboe, bassoon, and French horn. And the woodwinds tend not to receive as much press or glory as the string section of an orchestra or our solo pianists. So I thought we'd talk a little bit about the flute before we just move on to Imani Winds. I found it quite fascinating that the flute is one of the oldest musical instruments of all time. And it's regarded as the first ever wind instrument. And it was used as early as the Stone Age.
Wow.
So
almost as old as me.
Oh. Flute playing has had a long tradition in the Orient and in Egypt. The ancient Greeks had sophisticated flutes we know that look like pan flutes. But they were considered to be the instrument of the common man, whereas something that was a predecessor of the oboe, called the aulos, was associated with high social standing. So the flutes that we use today are transverse flutes as opposed to the pan flutes that we had. And the instrument over time evolved for a while and then sort of stopped evolving from about, 100 BC all the way to the 1500s. Suddenly in the 1500s, people decided that the flute needed to undergo some sweeping changes. So it became transverse, and they added octaves, and the first really modern flute was in Lully's opera orchestra. And it started to become the rival for the recorder, which at the time was the predominant instrument. So it was not very homogeneous. Tuning was very difficult. It was, of course, made of wood. So by the 1700s, and we head towards Mozart's time, the flute became more interesting, more the sound was evened out a great deal, and there was a shift to the bigger sounds, the Mozart orchestra. And so they needed a larger instrument. So in the 1830s, we keep moving forward here, a gentleman named Theobald Böhm actually constructed the first flute that we consider to be the modern flute. And he created larger tone holes, and he changed the conical head joint on it. Lots of technical things that happened. He also chose German silver, which he ascribed as the best acoustic properties. So that's where we get our flutes, you know, our magic right. silver flutes. So basically what we play today is just the evolution of the Böhm flute. And so I think that's quite fascinating, you know, to figure out where these instruments came from. So woodwind instruments are wind instruments that rely on a mechanism other than lip reeds. All flutes are considered woodwind instruments. The French horn of our woodwind quintet is technically a brass instrument because it is made of brass. However, its warm, mellow sound blends extremely well with the woodwinds, which is why composers began writing it into woodwind quintets. So at this point, let's turn to our music. So a little history about the instruments, and now we're going to move on to Imani Winds. The first piece that we're going to hear is written by Valerie Coleman, who is one of the founders of Imani Winds, and she's also the flautist of the ensemble. She grew up in Louisville, Kentucky, and she began her music studies at the age of 11, and by 14 had written three symphonies and won several local and state competitions. So she's not only a founder, but she's a resident composer of the ensemble, and their signature piece, Umoja, is listed as one of the top 101 great American works by Chamber Music America. I mean, just absolutely phenomenal. So she's written lots of pieces. She has a double bachelor's degree in theory and composition and flute performance from Boston University and a master's from Manus. She has composed all over the place and served on the faculty of Juilliard and the interschool orchestras of New York. So a little bit about this first piece that we're going to hear that she wrote. Red Clay and Mississippi Delta is a light scherzo work that references my family's background of living in Mississippi. From the juke joints and the casino boats that line the Mississippi River to the skin tone of my relatives from the area, a dark skin that looks like it came directly from the red clay. The solo lines are instilled with personality, meant to capture the listener's attention as they wail with bluesy riffs that are accompanied by the rest of the ensemble. The result is a virtuosic chamber work that merges classical technique and orchestration with the blues dialect and the charm of the South. So here's Red Clay and Mississippi Delta played by Imani Winds. Imani Winds is comprised of Valerie Coleman, flute, Toyin Spellman-Diaz, oboe, Mark Dover, clarinet, Jeff Scott, French horn, and Monica Ellis, bassoon.
We will listen to that, then take a short break and be back with more.
Thank you.
We are back to our special program with the Newport Music Festival, and we've been talking about a wonderful group called the Imani Winds. And on the break, you mentioned to me, cool and jazzy, Pamela.
Yes.
I love that. Cool and jazzy. It sounds exactly the way it was. Where are we picking it up now?
Right. So I just want to mention that warming jazzy piece that we just heard for a cold February day. The thing that's really remarkable about Imani Winds is that here they are classically trained, and yet they're composers in their own right. They do a lot of improvisation, and they work with lots of living composers. This is a very groundbreaking ensemble. They celebrated their 20th anniversary in 2017. Extolled by the Philadelphia Inquirer is what triumph sounds like. That's a great review. Mm-hmm. Imani Winds has established themselves, or the group has established itself, as one of the most successful chamber music ensembles in the United States. Since 1997, this Grammy-nominated quintet has taken a unique path, carving out a distinct presence in the classical music world with its dynamic playing, culturally poignant programming, adventurous collaborations, and inspirational outreach programs. So they use traditional woodwind quintets, and they still bridge European, African, American, and Latin American traditions. They are currently the University of Chicago's ensemble in residence. Their touring schedule has taken them across the globe. They've performed at Carnegie Hall, Lincoln Center, Kennedy Center, and all of the premier chamber music series in the country, including Boston, San Francisco, New York. They also play lots of festivals, La Jolla, the Santa Fe Chamber Music Ensemble, the Virginia Arts Festival, and this summer they make their debut at the Newport Music Festival, and we are thrilled.
That will complete their world.
Absolutely thrilled. Right. They've toured, as I said, all over the world. What's really interesting about Imani Winds is they started as an all-African-American ensemble, which is extremely rare in the world of classical music. The ensemble is now biracial, and it continues to enrich the repertoire and the world of woodwind ensembles. So the next piece that we're going to hear is Astor Piazzolla's Contrabbajissimo, arranged by Jeff Scott, who is the French horn player, and he's also a composer for Imani Winds. Contrabbajissimo is a very special work. It was written by Piazzolla to spotlight Hector Console, the contrabassist in Piazzolla's final quintet that he's himself played in. Astor Piazzolla was an Argentinian tango composer, and he played the bandeon, and he was an arranger of music, and he basically revolutionized the traditional tango into this new style that we call Nuevo Tango. And he incorporated elements from jazz and classical music, much like Imani Winds do themselves. He was a virtuoso, and he regularly performed his own compositions, and he performed in a variety of ensembles. In 1992, American music critic Stephen Holden described Piazzolla as the world's foremost composer of tango music. That's all right. This piece, Contrabbajissimo, was the only piece of music played at Piazzolla's funeral. It was one of his favorites. It's an extremely difficult piece and not performed very frequently. So in Jeff Scott's incredible arrangement, the bassoon takes the place of what would have been the double bass, you know, the stringed instrument, the double bass, right, in the original quintet. So a little bit about bassoonist Monica Ellis from Imani Winds. She was from Pittsburgh and discovered the joy of making music at the age of 4. She went on to get her bachelor's from Oberlin and then received her master's from Juilliard. So again, this is an incredible group of musicians. She lives in Harlem, and she's an active New York freelancer. She performs all over the place with the chamber music of Lincoln Center Jazz Orchestra, American Symphony Orchestra, Alvin Ailey. She's also a passionate teacher. She has taught at Manus. She's taught at Purchase College and Juilliard's Music Advancement Program. So get ready for a tango. Here is Imani Winds with Contrabbajissimo.
Once again, we'll listen to that, then take a short break and be back with more of the Newport Music Festival. Thank you. Welcome back to the program. I'm Mike Mano, sitting with Pamela Pantos as we talk about Imani Winds and their music.
This group, as we've said, is so incredible in terms of their vision. They commission music, so they perform lots of music of the past, the present, and literally the future. They happen to have a legacy commissioning project for which the ensemble premieres and tours new works for Woodwind Quintet, written by established and emerging composers of diverse musical backgrounds. The wide range of programs offered by Imani Winds demonstrates their mission to expand the repertoire and to find new music sources. So they play Mendelssohn, they play Ligeti, they play Berio, they play Piazzolla, as we just heard, Carter, Harbison. They even play works by Simon Shaheen. So Imani Winds actively seeks to engage new music and new voices into what they call the modern classical idiom. Their commitment to education runs extremely deep. So they participate in residencies throughout the United States, giving master classes to thousands of students every year. In 2010, the ensemble launched its annual Chamber Music Festival. So this program, which is set on the campus of the Manus School of Music, brings together young instrumentalists and composers from across North America and beyond for an intense exploration and performance of both traditional and new chamber music compositions. So here it is now. It'll be their eighth year. And the participants have gone on to successes around the world. And they found their own music education programs and formed their own chamber music ensembles. So again, Imani Winds is an inspiration to all kinds of musicians. Here in Newport, Imani Winds will not only be performing at the Breakers, as we mentioned, on Friday the 13th in July, but will also be working with the children at the Martin Luther King Center's summer camp program. Hmm. So they're going to introduce those children to the instruments and talk about how they play, what inspired them to start, how they got into this, so that youth can see that there are opportunities. So we're very excited about this, which is the first in a series of collaborations with the Martin Luther King Center. So as we said, we've played some very cool and jazzy pieces by Imani Winds.
Cool and jazzy, that's what we're calling them. Cool and jazzy.
They're also going to be playing excerpts from Rimsky-Korsakov's Scheherazade, which is stunningly beautiful, as I'm sure our listening audience knows.
Well, now we have to change it to cool and jazzy and stunningly beautiful.
I do want to play this evening a remarkable piece by Francis Boulenc, who we've not yet discussed in our series. He's one of the composers we haven't touched upon. He was born in 1899 and died in 1963. Very briefly, his wealthy parents wanted him to take over their pharmaceutical company. However, he wasn't interested. So he never did attend a conservatory, and he was largely self-taught. He became associated with the French composer Eric Satie, and then became part of the group known in composition circles as Les Six, whose music is often seen as a reaction against Richard Wagner, and again, a reaction against Debussy and Ravel. So here they are, you know, forging new paths.
Right, not the way it used to be.
So in addition to composing, Poulenc was also an accomplished pianist himself and toured with several famous singers for whom he also composed. He also was one of the first composers who realized the importance of the emergence of the gramophone at the time, and so we have lots of recordings of him playing his own works. So we're going to listen to the first movement of his sextet for woodwind, quintet, and piano, and this will be on the second half of the program that Imani Winds is performing. They will be joined by pianist Sarah Davis Buchner. Anyone who has not heard this extraordinary pianist should make sure that they do so this summer. And we'll definitely record a program on her later in our series. So here is the ensemble Les Vents Français, the French Winds, playing the first movement, the Allegro Vivace from Poulenc's Sextet for Piano and Winds, Opus 100. Thank you.
before we wrap this up, I'd like to remind our audience to go to the website, check out all of the information that's there that's available for all the upcoming concerts this summer. And before that, we have some things also, right?
Absolutely. Coming right around the corner now in March, the Hermitage Piano Trio are going to be joining us, and we're performing at Marble House. We haven't been there for a long time in the very, very beautiful space. We're very grateful to the Preservation Society for allowing us to use that space. Some people may already know the cellist of the Hermitage Piano Trio, Sergei Antonov, who has been with the festival for several years now. He won the Tchaikovsky competition 10 years ago. And so he's bringing two of his colleagues, Ilya Kazantsev and Misha Kalin, with him. And actually, they're going to be on a show that we're going to be taping very soon, right about the Hermitage Piano Trio and exactly how they came together. They all knew each other from Moscow, Russia, and re-met in the United States. So that will be a very fascinating conversation,
I would think.
So tickets are on sale, as you mentioned, not only for the summer, but for this chamber music series this spring. I think it's a real opportunity for our audience members. In the past, they had to wait till May to purchase their tickets. And now you can go online and actually select your seats. So you can select the seats you want. You can press the button. You can print them at home, or you can have them at will call, as people prefer. But I think it's really a service so that people don't have to wait outside the breakers in that heat or in the rain. And they can have, as we've mentioned before, sort of a leisurely dinner or a cocktail and then, you know, go off to their evening performances.
So here's a great idea for Valentine's Day. You've always been one of those people that was a little bit late getting to the breakers for your concert, and you always sat in the back. Well, here's the opportunity. You make it a very special Valentine's. Go someplace, have a nice dinner in one of the great restaurants that are around the greater Rhode Island, Connecticut area, and then present your favorite person with some tickets that are already seated. They could be right in the front row.
There you go. What a brilliant idea.
Yeah. So newportmusic.org. And check that all out.
Absolutely. And, you know, I do want to emphasize, I don't want people to be disappointed during this 50th anniversary season, because as we've mentioned, we have some outstanding groups and artists. So I would suggest that people do go online now and purchase their tickets so that things don't get sold out and they don't get to hear these concerts.
A lot of times the things are sold out. Yeah. So do it now. Don't put it off and be a hero for Valentine's Day.
You're so clever. So we're going to conclude this evening with the last movement of Poulenc's Sextet with the Finale Prestissimo, again here played by Les Vents Français, from Poulenc's Sextet for Piano and Winds, Opus 100. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you, Pamela. We'll see you next time on our special series about the Newport Music Festival. Thank you.
thank you for listening to WCRI's Festival Series featuring the Newport Music Festival. For more information on the festival, special seasonal concerts, to purchase tickets, or to donate, call 849-0700 or visit newportmusic.org.